seemed to be a pretty intense one. Did everybody come out of it okay, healthy?
Yeah, well, we were losing guys early, but it's one of those special teams practices, and you go from standing around to going real fast, and you got to build in some rest for your power play units. So we did a little up and down at the end just to get the legs going. Yeah, the pace of practice picks up when you get down to your guys. You know, you get to, everybody passes it better, everybody moves faster, and so the pace is built in.
Is camp over? Is tomorrow just, get your legs loose before you get on the plane?
Yeah, camp was over after the last exhibition game, so the first day's rest and a little harder tug yesterday. 3 days of practice is always a challenge and how hard you push, but we'll get a good work day in tomorrow, and then everybody's excited for tomorrow. You know, a little bit of a Christmas Day thing. The league starts tomorrow night, so yeah, it's a good feeling.
What's Cormier and Odell's status?
So Cormier still has to get cleared, and he's getting kind of improvement every day, but he's not getting back on that ice till he sees 100% and feels good. And Eric has to get through enough contact practices that he's 100% clear. So he's doing that now, and we wait a day to see the effects of his practice, but he's pretty close.
How excited are you to see your team compete on Thursday night after everything you've done?
And there's the challenge, right, for a coach. So you've had a training camp and it's over, and now you want perfection in game one and just ride it through 82, and you realize that you're going to have to work on all of these things every day for the year. But we're excited now because the pressure changes everything. It changes how you pass the puck, you know, the decisions that you make on the ice. An exhibition, the older guys will take an extra chance. You know, they'll put a puck place someplace they wouldn't in a regular season game. Younger guys play with a little bit more nerves, and then when it's on, you know, there's a cost to every decision you make on the ice, and finding that right balance is the difference between really good players and guys that turn the puck over a lot. So you like the pressure coming into the game. And I'm sure there's a lot of things worse, but standing behind the bench in an exhibition game is just not a whole lot of fun. You know, because you know you're walking out and you're going through your routine and you're thinking, I'm not wired enough for this game. You know, it's not right. So now you get to get all the nerves and everything back behind the bench, and that's a good feeling.
You compare and contrast the roles going into the season for the Little line and the Scheifele line?
I don't know that it's a whole lot different than what happened to us early on last year. So the idea of Little Ladd and Frolik was that our team prior to that had a very, very difficult time keeping the other team's best players off the score sheet. It was a real area. The points against from their best players is a real problem for us. So whenever we could, we would play them against the other team's best and had some success. The interesting part is we'd go on the road early on, and as most coaches, they found the young guy in the lineup and tried to play their best against Mark Scheifele. And for a while, they were just as good a team on the road. So now, for me, if that trend continues, and we expect it with Mark in that line, for that line to play well defensively, it lets us use them interchangeably. So now you can focus on – so for me, I have the expectation that either line goes out, that they know their routes, that they know what they're supposed to do without the puck, and they can be successful. I might be able to find defensemen on the other team. So change your matchup and your bench strategy a little bit. Find the defenseman. There's an awful lot of speed on one line. And there's a lot of, I think, playmaking ability with Brian in the middle on the other line. And Andrew's really good with the puck on his stick from the top of the circles in terms of being in a shooting position. He does a great job with that. So I'll put those two lines out in the ice interchangeably now, in my mind, in that other team against the other team's best, and then it's on me to find the right match during a game to get a feel for which line is really on and going, and look at their and look at the defense on the other teams to see where we can get the most at both ends.
If you were still on that TV desk, who would you be describing as the Jets' top line?
I don't think I would. I'd stand this. I'm not sure that it's defined, nor does it need to be. I mean, we'll look at minutes. Even last year, Evander Kane, I believe, led the forwards in terms of minutes. He's unusual in that the PK role and the power play role. Everything changes this year. More likely to see our top nine guys. I mean, I have eight guys now that I'm comfortable in terms of killing penalties, and we're going to have some good players not on the power play. So there doesn't need to be the number one or two. Whoever's on the ice is the number one line. But I never necessarily got – once I got a comfort level with Mark last year, I never really viewed that as the number two line.
Paul, can you explain a little bit about hockey, maybe more so than other sports, and chemistry, and how teams can get better by
actually staying together, what you expect to see better out of a unit or a core group of guys that continuously play together?
Right, so there's the chemistry that comes from everybody adhering to the overall team game plan. So it just makes you faster as a team. You look faster if you have a really strong idea of where the puck is going to go when you have it, and a quick identification of whose man it is that has the puck if you don't have it, right? So the systemization of your team can make you faster once you get it. And then where all the real coaching happens on the bench and all the real learning is not behind the bench. It's what the three guys are saying to each other on. And that's where you get the line will find that kind of chemistry on its own. It's the little plays that happen over and over that a line will say, you know, why don't we handle that a little differently when we have the puck? I'll go here, you go there. Let's look for these two things. Let's find that defenseman that we're playing against. That's the really good chemistry. I mean, I always thought, especially with defensemen, young defensemen coming in, you can partner them up with the right guy. We'll teach them. Our job is to teach them the Winnipeg Jet game. We're not teaching them the game of hockey. We're teaching them how we're going to play the game, and then who they sit beside on the bench is so critical into the small little things, how to position your body, the things that, you know, NHL veterans learn that rookies don't. Having those young guys exposed to the right, more than the coaches. The players will sort of listen to the coach, but they'll listen to the guy sitting behind him if he's got 7 or 8 years under his belt and he tells him something to look for in the game. They jump on that quick.
A couple of players have told me yesterday and today that they had chips on their shoulders in the summer and they weren't happy. They didn't have a good summer. They were angry. Does that help going into the season?
Yeah, I don't want to come back into the season certainly satisfied. I mean, there's, I guess, one and one and a half teams that could bring a sense of satisfaction back to their training camp. But I know that the numbers, the testing numbers alone by our league guys said something drove them this summer, whether it's just their own internal competitiveness, that's how hard they pushed themselves, but these guys came back, our top guys came back in good shape and worked hard, and they had to work hard through difficult workouts consistently to get to where they are. So they were all driven by something this summer, whether it was an anger over where their team finished or they didn't feel individually they played as well as they could. The guys that are going to carry this team push themselves this summer.
Well, a lot of shots blocked or missing the target on Saturday night is an example, but in general, I think it's something that you want to be better at, and I've heard some guys talking about it.
Right.
What's the key to that?
So there's a little bit of a theme to that in a few of our games, that the percentage-wise of what's getting blocked and what's missing the net is a little bit high. The part of it is when they get the puck, how they get the puck, right? So overall execution, if it's on the tape a half second earlier, a little bit quicker, you really increase your chances of having a better option with the puck. And then as I think some of it's the confidence to move with the puck and not take the shot right there. So it's something that we spent quite a bit of time on practice. From the back end, an awful lot. And then there's something else that's happening is we're kind of changing the mindset of how we play in the offensive zone, so a little bit more control with the puck. And we're still learning how to move off that from the back end. You know, it's a tendency to kind of stand and watch the puck carry, and we need to take opportunities away from the puck. That's not the right word. Take the time when you don't have the puck. If you're moving away from the puck, to put yourself in a position to get that off. And then a part of it's the decision. It's what we're working with our power play. That decision to shoot the puck has to come first. You know, that's got to be your first. Your default is the puck goes to the net. So timing and execution will change our ability to get the puck to the net.
What do you want from Zach Bogosian as a player?
In a role right now with Toby, he, between Stewart and Truba, for the most part off the bench, being a plus player in terms of points generated for and against, and we track shots from certain areas. So what you generate on the ice, and more importantly, what you give up off the ice is first. And then doing it within his strengths. Big, strong man, closes the gap wall and finishes hard. So seeing that as his mode to make those other things happen, not play at the end of a stick. Get up the ice when he can and get the shot off with more regularity, I think. But again, back to the theme of our whole group. But those are the things that we're looking for. He's got a role here. We're not going to judge his season by his statistics offensively. It'll come playing with good players against good players. You're going to get your chances to put some numbers up. You'll get pieces of second power play unit time to do that as well. But in terms of him affecting the course of a game and us winning and losing, it's him keeping their guys off the board.
He's fought injury. Does he do everything he can to put himself, like, in terms of fitness?
Yeah.
Like, where he tests high?
Oh, he, this guy's a machine. So what, and he, and changed how he trained a little bit this summer. He is just a big, powerful man. And a lot of it is some strains and some muscle things. So that's the injury prevention, right? This guy's not carrying any extra fat. He's not leaving any effort in the workout room at all. He pushes hard. So the questions we ask, and not just about Zach, it's any guy that has the frequency of those, is how can we change the way he trains a little bit to keep him healthier and keep him fresher? You know, there was back spasms at the end of the year last year that kept him out. And it's something, those muscular things kind of that he's dealt with. So the flexibility program and all those things. And we looked at them very hard, very closely.
He bought into all that?
Oh, yeah. Like, this guy never had a problem getting to the gym. Conditioning from a point of view, he's just, I mean, look at him. He's big, he's strong, and he's lean. So he spent time. We constantly, game changes on what a defenseman's supposed to look like. So it used to be, you know, you just had to be able to bench press a house and squat one when you were done. And now it's a speed-based thing. He's still in that big, powerful mode. You know, we don't want to lose any of that because it's part of what makes him good, and he can skate and close the gap. He doesn't have a conditioning issue by any stretch of the imagination. He would be one of those guys that can, he could go as long as you could push him.